Oh, very much. Yeah, very much. That's a very important event. There are lots of other events that are much smaller and a long way away from the centre of Melbourne that are just as important, but as a sign of the success that Victorians can be very proud of, that event will be one among many. We'll have more to say about Australian Open Tennis. We'll have more to say about all sorts of different events, large and small, in every part of the state. The theme amongst all of them will be twofold. One, they'll all be safe. And two, they'll all be the result of a really strong partnership between our government and people who are running these events and are absolutely and fundamentally committed to making sure that they can occur, but in a safe way, in a COVID-safe way. And we're very, very grateful to them. Very.
Dan Andrews today, the Premier, talking about the Boxing Day test and also giving us the indication that the tennis will be happening, the Australian Open tennis, from not 100% telling us that it will be happening, but it sounds like they believe that it can happen and can happen safely. So we'll talk more about that in the coming days. But Ian Healy's been good enough to join us, part of the SEN family now, part of the SEN Test cricket team and host of Pat and Heels on SEN Track in Brisbane. He joins us thanks to Coldflow. Control your comfort with Coldflow heating and cooling. Welcome to you, Ian. Great to have you back on the program.
G'day, Dwayne. Nice to be with you, mate.
And it's, I'm sure, a nice day for you to be able to set your diary, starting with the one-day internationals. November 27, SCG. November 29, SCG. Canberra, December 2, and then the T20s. And then the tests, which we wanted to find out what the dates were locked in, for those unaware, December 17 to 21 at the Adelaide Oval, December 26 to 30, the Boxing Day Test, MCG, January 7 to 11 at the SCG, and then January 15 to 19 at the Gabba. It's an exciting time, even though we're going to wait for it, Ian.
Well, it's pretty good. That's exactly right. There's a lot of layers to getting an international cricket tour off the ground. And with the players mainly coming from Dubai, but some from India, it's difficult quarantining type regulations. So they've had to cope with that. They then had to chop and change the schedule about five times, maybe more, then get India to tick off on that one and get it approved, then get all the governments involved. It's been hard, and looks like something's nearly right.
So you're happy with that format, happy with the scheduling, and does it look like we will get some reasonable team lists for the Big Bash as well?
Yes. I've got one problem. First of all, yes, great. India are coming. New South Wales government have found a way that to quarantine them and the Australians who are all coming from the Middle East. That's great. Fantastic effort. Then white ball cricket first. Good games in Sydney and Canberra. Then there'll be a pink ball practice match. Now, I'd rather see that be a state team, not a Cricket Australia 11, because then you've got to quarantine and you've got to isolate too many cricketers again, you know? So I'd rather see one state just get into that. But anyway, I think it could be a full-strength Australian team nearly playing against India before that Adelaide test on December 17. So the broadcasters are even considering covering it because everyone will need pink ball practice. Then Melbourne. So I am really happy that hopefully at the end of that series you just listed, we get 2 weeks of the top players playing in the Big Bash, maybe 2.5-3 weeks into the finals. So that will all work very well if it goes to plan.
Is it good that the one dayers, the T20s, the tests are divided like they are, so we can get into each format as a format itself, as a little series itself, and then, okay, that's done, and now we move to the next one, and yes, okay, now we move to the tests?
Yes, I think so. It's they're big adjustments the players are now becoming adept at making. So I probably would have gone the other way around.
Okay.
You know, they're coming from T20 tournament. Why not start with the T20s, the three T20s first, then go into 350 over, you know, make it longer and longer for them, not start with 50 over cricket, then go back to T20, then go to pink ball tests. So I don't know the reason. There'll be a good reason for it. It's been a really difficult thing, but I think the broadcasters are probably their happiest too, because most of their staff are in Sydney. So they haven't got to travel and quarantine and isolate all their staff the way it's going on at the moment by starting that big block of games in Sydney. So Brisbane thought we had it, that quarantine and those quarantine matches, the first six, But our government sort of backflipped and let us down a little bit, and Sydney said, yeah, we'll have a look at that. And they've got it over the line in a week, top effort.
It's been a weird year, Ian, but to think we've got crowds that will be able to come to cricket, there might not be full houses, but to think we're going to have crowds at these venues as well is a huge addition. We've seen so many sports around the world being played to empty stands, and we had a lot of AFL played to empty stands, and it just didn't feel right. But this is hopefully going to feel good.
Yep, and it feels good in the lounge room at least. I think that's the biggest lifeblood. The biggest lifeblood of all these sports are the broadcast rights, and they're going through the roof. You know, they're loving it. The viewership is excellent. So that's great. And India are coming. They're the lifeblood of this Australian, the cycle of 4 or 5 years that cricket survives on. This is one of its, I think it's the biggest of the four. And next year you follow it up with England. So cricket can get out of its cash flow issues if they ever were there. So yeah, it feels different, but get it on and keep the game going.
And Virat Kohli's coming. Will he stay?
I don't care. You know how he's got a birth, a baby being born in January.
Yep.
Gee, it'd be disappointing if he misses that last test and it's 1-1, won't it? So I'm certainly not one saying, oh, come on, Virat. Look, I wish you could stay. Let's move the test around so that you can then go home for your birth. No, if it happens to clash, I'm not one that's worried about that. I'm happy to see the back of him because he's the best batsman I've ever seen.
You've also been approached to join the Cricket Australia board, but now that Hutchie's got you employed, I presume you won't have time.
Well, I haven't sort of been approached. I am waiting for more information. I mean, we've talked about it in our Queensland ranks. I am on the Queensland Cricket Board, and I probably constitutionally have to get off that board if I'm going to be nominated to go further forward. So I'm just waiting on a few things there, I'll find time if I have to. I might cut my preparation for my radio show down a little bit. This series will be great. The Indian team I've seen on paper, I think, is the best team they've ever been able to pick, ever. The history of Indian cricket, it's really good. They got three or four really good quicks. They've got a left arm leggy. They've got RS Ashwin, an offie, and they've also got Ravi Jadeja. So the spin's covered. And then you look at Kohli, but also there's a fellow called Prithvi Shaw who came out here last tour as a really young bloke, like, who knows, 20, 19, something like that, turned his ankle and we never got to see him. And so he's coming back, and a fellow called Shobman Gill. Ricky Ponting really talking him up. So they've got brand new rookies with quality. Ajinkya Rahane, the KL Rahul, much more experienced. Pandey, an all-rounder. They've got a wonderful team, and it's going to be a tremendous series. Australia, I think, should win. In Australia, we just always think Australia should win, eh? But they're going to probably thrive on the competition, this Indian side. So Australia have to be on their toes, and I'm hoping for it being one all. Coming to Brisbane, and that's Australia's fortress.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing. Everyone wants to know whether we're going to see a bit of a difference to this Australian team. Are we going to see a couple of left-field selections? There's been a lot of talk in the last 48 hours about left-field selections. What kind of team do you think we'll have by then? Do you think the team's going to be, you know, dictated to by the lead-up form?
Well, you'd hope so, right? So you'd hope any incumbent that had their position has started this season, whether it be in Sheffield Shield or over in the IPL, showing enough promise. It's a really difficult selection, isn't it? Because four or five of our players have been allowed to break contract and go over to the IPL, while the others are playing Sheffield Shield, getting some practice in, getting some longer form cricket in. I just hope it's all performance dictated. And if someone, i.e. a Steve Smith or something, isn't in great form or haven't got many runs under the belt, sure, let them in. But any left field or any newish selections need to be driven by really good performance so far. Cameron Green springs to mind, big, tall Western Australian, made 197 in the second Shield game. He's about to start bowling again. So does he force his way into a side at the expense of a Mitchell Marsh who's returning, or a Marcus Stoinis who's over there doing stuff? So they're about the only issues, I reckon. I don't think we'll see too many surprise selections at this stage.
But he's one that could bash the door down and say, look, I've got form on the board that's just too good to ignore in the lead-up.
Who was that, sorry, Dwayne?
Cameron Green.
Yeah, well, but you've got to find a spot for him. So, you know, if anyone who does force their way into the team at the expense of someone, they have to be extremely convincing about their form. Because plenty haven't had much four-day cricket or five-day cricket, which they're going to need. India's the same. So we could catch India on the hop by using some of our state cricketers who are more accustomed to long-form cricket at the time the series starts.
Great to have a chat to you, Ian. I'm pretty excited about it. I think everybody is. I'm a bit worried about what we're going to do for 3 weeks in the lead-up to November 27 because not a lot of sport around, but we'll find something to do and it maybe gets us even more ready for it. Great to have a chat to you. Can't wait to hear more of you on SEN. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome, John. See you, mate.
Bye. Former champion Ian Healy, part of the SEN Test Cricket team and host of Pat and Heels on SEN Track in Brisbane. Joining us, thanks to Coldflow. Control your comfort with Coldflow heating and cooling. And you can catch the summer of cricket on SEN with every test and every Big Bash game live right here across the SEN network. We're going to head to the US after a break. It's game six of the World Series. And it's a pretty big one, given that LA hasn't won for, the Dodgers have not won for a long, long, long time. This is their opportunity to break a 32-year and 7-day drought. 32 years and 7 days the drought's gone on for the Dodgers. They just need to win Game 6. They lead the best of 7 series 3-2. They've been down in this Game 6 1-0 against the Tampa Bay Rays. But in the bottom of the 6th, they've put 2 runs on the board so far and they now lead 2-1. We're going to go inside the stadium to Aliza Hernandez next.